The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. The weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. React. Huh? This is a weird situation. Kranak, the last time you and I got to talk about a game that got complete was either the time you went to Columbia when Sue tried to reinvent human anatomy with Gabbard's ankle, or T-Magic's, 240 against K-State. But the first time you get a Friday night game, and that's more like it, I think, was the scream from Nebraska fans last night in the impressive victory over the Illini. You can react. Maybe you're still smiling. Maybe you're sleeping in. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House this morning with us on Hail Varsity Radio. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We'll head to Champaign in about an hour, get caught up with Brandon Vogel, the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp will be with us. Kranak, we're going to do this on the air. We're gonna huddle up right now.
Okay.
Do you want to do a rewind? I know usually we do a rewind around 7:30-ish or so, depending on how long I blab. We can do a rewind. We got a chance to get caught up with Dave Remington this week.
Okay. I mean, relevant for the week.
Yeah.
But was he good? Was it a particularly good interview?
Well, Dave's
or are
always
we better
good.
Off.
Dave's,
you know what I'm
always
saying? Because like you can get an interview.
Uh-huh.
But did he say anything? If he didn't, we might be able to punt.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, I don't know, man. This is a difficult. We probably should have huddled beforehand.
No, it's been crazy the last hour and a half. Just it has been because you're getting your thoughts together and you're
well, it's hard to react. It's hard to know how to act.
You're calling an audible. That's what we're doing. So
well, it's hard to know how to act after a win like that.
We may have a rewind. We will let you keep guessing. 466-3776-800-825-5861. Let's get to it, man. Let's talk about last night. And, you know, I'm absolutely serious, and that's my gut first / overall reaction, kind of just what you needed. You needed a performance like that. You needed a little bit of drama. In a drama-filled last 9 days, and you needed to see how this team would kind of react and respond. And you got that a little bit a week ago with the win over Rutgers, but, I mean, that was kind of like, you know, you're out with some friends and they show you their kid. Oh, isn't Jimmy sweet-looking? And, you know, Jimmy's just going to grow up to look like a goon. You just kind of nod and go, yeah, he's awesome. That's kind of how last Saturday was. You won, but you're just kind of cringed about it because it just wasn't. It wasn't. You take it. It's a win, but it wasn't pretty, right? Well, there was a lot of nice moments for Nebraska last night, specifically on how both sides of the ball worked together. Mark, I mean, the defense was really good, and if there was a drive that was being put on them, it went good night inside the 15. Not, you know, I mean, the two field goals, that's it. The defense did a wonderful job. Offensively, what Nebraska was able to do and what they decided to emphasize in the run game was just big time. They committed to it. They ran the football, and Tanner Lee looked like a new quarterback. That's the biggest thing, man, is having him have a good performance, have a clean performance. And again, it comes down to confidence. Having him have a game where he can feel pretty good about how he did and build on that. And that's what Nebraska got last night. Nebraska got to be 2-0 last night. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, 28-6, it feels more like 45-6. I mean, there were some opportunities to have some more points and really drill the Illini. I mean, you'll take 28-6. It's kind of one of those boa constrictor wins where you just kind of snuff them out and really no threat, especially at the knockout punch with Stanley's stiff arm seen all over the world. I mean, that made it 28-6, but I think you feel pretty good, and there's a lot of things to take forward against Wisconsin.
Yeah, at no point did that game feel in doubt.
No, especially after the first drive where Illinois is making a move and then they're held to three. Nebraska goes up 7-0. Illinois comes back with a field goal, and then by that time you blink because each offense was required to have the ball for 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was a very comfortable game to watch. And you look at how Nebraska has played on the road specifically the last probably three times out going back to last year. Oregon, total disaster, obviously, in the first half. Before that, Iowa, complete disaster. Before that, Ohio State, I don't even need to tell you. I mean, that was 62-3.
Right? Moving on, nothing to see here.
It has been a circus watching this team go on the road. A circus. Granted, those are decent programs that Nebraska played there. Oregon, Iowa, Ohio State. Not an easy slate. But it's not 62-3, 40-10, 42-14 in the first half kind of a slate. Right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of wondered if this team just had the metal, the toughness, like the mental toughness to go on the road, right? Like against anybody and do what they're supposed to do. And dare I say, the defense at times, this is Illinois, we know that. There's our disclaimer, right? This is Illinois, we know that. There's our disclaimer. But that defense looks disruptive, very disruptive, which we did not see early with Bob Diaco's defense. We did not see that. And I think that's what kind of gave everybody pause. It's like, is this really, like, this is what you're going to see, you know, through game one and two? Like, are they just basically going to play prevent all day? Like, really?
You went prevent on us here. 7-13. I love it. I love the call.
Well, right. After the first game, though, you're sort of like, is that, wow, do we just have to completely readjust how we see defense? That was a disruptive bunch last night.
Mm-hmm.
Really disruptive bunch. Look, Carlos Davis and company, those guys are maturing into NFL draft picks right in front of us. Ben Stilley, look, a lot of people thought he was sort of a flyer in that recruiting class.
You can say reach.
The dude looks phenomenal.
Well, you on this show, I mean, I just kind of nod my head with you sometimes because you study film a hell of a lot harder than I do. And you were extremely excited about him.
I mean, as in like one of the top three or four guys.
No, I know he was in that entire class. Yeah, he was one of the guys you're like, yeah, more Ben Stilley, please.
Yeah.
How good does he look? And by the way, he just gets his job. He contains, he gets rid of his block, he makes the tackle, and he is around the football. I mean, he really looked good.
I didn't understand at the time. You know, there were folks that were kind of against him. They thought it was, you know, oh, that's just, you know,
he's taking the Nebraska
kid, throwing a bone to an in-state guy.
Right.
It's like, what are you talking about? This guy, like, so when I say, if you're not familiar with Ben Stilley, by the way, if you're listening and you're just like, whatever, you're not really sure who this kid is.
He's number 95 and his biceps look like yours.
Well, multiple time state champ wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of Ashland Greenwood, multiple times. You look at his build. You just mentioned it. That's a rare body type, right? The guy's like what, 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", something like that, and what, 240,
yeah,
250, 260. Completely lean though. He's not a fat kid running around, right? So he's a state champ wrestler. In football, they had him.
Thank you, Ben Stilley is not fat. Moving on.
Well, but I mean seriously, you know. And in high school, they had him split out wide as like an H-back / receiver.
Little Gronk roll. Yeah.
He'd run seam routes. Defensively, they would drop him to where he would alternate from being like a rush in to dropping into coverage. It was just like, what are we missing here? Why are people against this? And then look at him. Redshirt freshman. out there doing that. That dude has earned a spot already. What the hell was he doing last night? Three tackles for loss and a sack?
Yep. He earned a spot last night because no one opposite Gifford has anchored one down.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he's been disruptive. He's found a role. And let's spend a couple more minutes on this defense. I mean, Stilley's been disruptive. That's the perfect word. The Davis twins doing their thing. Mick's been good in the middle against the run. And then how about Gifford? I mean, Gifford's been playing at a really, really high level. And your secondary took a couple of shots here and there. Either they got flagged or, you know, missed the tackle. And I'm talking about Lamar.
Mm.
But they kind of kept hanging in there. And your safety play's been good, and your top dog's been out. I mean, this team's really kind of rolled with the punches. They've adjusted, and they are finding, again, back to the confidence word. You saw how important it was offensively. But, man, oh, man, you're just seeing it blossom in front of you defensively. And that's the thing. I didn't really have a timeline, did you, in mind? Like, you had a best-case scenario for this defense to kind of come together. And because the offense has been so skittish, they've needed to come together this quickly. But it's been a really quick flip. And I'm not anointing them at all. They still got Wisconsin. I know they gave up 42 shots to Oregon. But really, man, since then, they have settled down, kind of stayed the course, and just gotten better. And I think you need to step back and, if you haven't, acknowledge the coaching and teaching and then the preparation that's gone on defensively, because you got to throw in a myriad of injuries, and you're getting kids, really young kids, ready to play and play at a high level early in this season. You're just five games in. Now, it's long enough to kind of know what direction you could go, but it's by far too soon to be a finished product defensively. You could be a hell of a lot bigger mess, and they're not. They're a strength.
Look, Northern Illinois, let's look at 3 weeks in a row. Northern Illinois, Rutgers, Illinois. 213 yards to Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Total. That's damn good. I mean, that's really, really good. Basically, if you're at 350 or below, pretty good job overall, right?
Yes.
Pretty good job. 213 is, that's lights out. So following week, Rutgers, 194 total yards. This last night, Illinois, 199.
Yep.
These dudes have pitched two sub-200-yard performances on defense. That is serious. And I don't care if it's Illinois or Rutgers. I mean, you're holding the team to 200 yards, you are basically just punting them all night. You are completely dominating them. Completely. And it's interesting because, look, why did Riley want to make the switch to the 3-4? You know, he thought long-term it would help him in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had kind of quickly points to Wisconsin all the time. Like, oh, he's competing with Wisconsin. That's what Wisconsin does. Look, Wisconsin hasn't been the problem defensively, though. Mark Banker's 4-3 did pretty good against Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, right? Played pretty good and sound defense. This, to me, this is more about the other teams on the slate, not just Wisconsin. He didn't make the switch to beat Wisconsin. So how are they going to do next week when they come in? Here comes a bona fide running attack. I mean, Wisconsin is, you know that picture, that cliche that we have of Wisconsin in our mind, that's really them this year. You know, but in past years there were a couple times where their reputation actually preceded their actual production and actually what they do. They threw the ball a lot last year, you know, and the year before too. They didn't run it quite as vintage as we think of Wisconsin running it. This year they are vintage Wisconsin. They are keeping it on the ground. They are pounding you. And as we go into next week, don't you find yourself not overly concerned about that side of it? Are you that concerned about it? I'm not.
No, I'm not concerned about the defense. I think you're going to get a monstrous step up in just talent level and ability and physicality. I mean, I can't put into words how difficult it's going to feel or seem like next Saturday against the Wisconsin offensive line. I can't put into words how it's going to how big the gap is it's going to feel against the Ohio State offensive line coming from Illinois. Okay, I mean, it's night and day, it's black and white, it's whatever, you know, distance you want to imagine, sun to the moon. Okay, so great, you've spent the last 3 weeks slowly building and you've paid it off, you've done well, you're really good. But it better be kind of medieval this week and next, if you can spare it, getting that line ready. Because it's gonna be hammer time. I mean, and so, and it's going to be one of those things, if we fast forward to a week from now, where it's going to need to be one of those 17-10 things, and you get the same type of black shirt performance.
These dudes, Wisconsin, are running it 49 times a game for 275 yards. I mean, they're almost.
And then they're going to wear your ass out off play action because their efficiency is incredible.
Yep. 275 yards a game. That's about 50 more than anybody else in the conference. So here that comes. But it's, look, how do you want to see your team go into a game like that?
Feeling good, playing well.
How do you want to see Riley and company respond, by the way? Like, let's just go ahead and overlook that for the first 20 minutes, which we've done.
Well, we're getting
there. Oh, yeah. He's completely on the hot seat, and there are no bones about that. That's not just rhetoric. That's obvious. They are playing for him, his job. It's crazy the amount of pressure those guys are under, and what do they do? How do they respond? It says a lot for him.
Best game of the year.
It says a lot for him.
It does.
Look, that was the most focused that we have seen a team play in a while. Tanner Lee, who has been an interception machine.
Looked like a different quarterback.
Kind of, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and he's, by the way, his mechanics weren't great all night. The Pearsonell touchdown was sort of like, you know, that was a back foot. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what are you doing? But he was anticipating that. He was looking for it, and he found it, and it worked, right? And so it was okay. He got away with that. But it's cool to see. So if there's any question in your mind, do the players, I don't know, do they buy in?
Absolutely they do.
Are they cool with what's going on? It appears so. It appears so. It appeared so last night. Look, ever since all the stuff went down around Riley, ever since Ikorst got fired, that's been a ridiculous amount of pressure for those guys to deal with. Terrible, right? Like,
well, and you've seen the physical appearance, the wear and tear, the mileage. Riley's still his sweet self, but you can see the stress. He's wearing it.
Yeah.
He's wearing it.
And here we go. Right?
Sure.
You're five in. You got seven less left. I mean, let's listen. Look, and I think we all know it, but let's think about what's come before and what's coming. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Ohio State, Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, Penn State, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Do you hear a sure win?
No, you don't have one at all. Nope. But instead of feeling like there's no shot with any of them, you feel better because of last night. We'll spend some more time talking about Riley, his staff, this response. We'll get into Tanner Lee, why he looks so different, getting into that offensive line. Can join us this morning if you're bumping around, getting out for that cup of coffee, as Nebraska able to down Illinois last night 28-6. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. Do you have more confidence now as a Nebraska fan. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. At Mark Skurs on Twitter. At Hail Varsity. At Schmidt underscore radio on Twitter. Now, do you have a little one playing soccer or football or hockey or maybe some softball going on? Well, concussions can happen. And you used to think it was just a bump on the head. However, now research confirms that concussions need to be identified immediately and managed properly with your young athletes. And no one does it better and no one has more trust than Madonna Therapy Plus. They take it head on and they have concussion rehabilitation and they're the leader in it. Madonna Therapy Plus provides a tailored program to young athletes through every stage of recovery, the right treatment, the right plan, and the most advanced techniques and technology so your young athlete can get back on the field and, yes, back into the classroom. Three locations in Lincoln and now one in West Omaha. If you have an athlete, a young one that needs concussion help, and you're wondering where to go to get that academic and athletic side back, Madonna Therapy Plus, the expertise you need, can log on MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. A quick timeout, back with more weekend edition of Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. Going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, you paced yourself for a Friday night affair. Hopefully it went well. Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Huskers get a win over the Illini. Do you feel better heading into Wisconsin? You're still skeptical? You're somewhere in between? It's okay. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone producing and engineering. Colton's feeling good. I mean, he's got two, whatever the hell you're pumping into your veins over there. It's rocket fuel or something. Kranak, what did you do for the game last night?
Watched it in Benson.
Nice.
Went to a concert afterwards. Yeah.
Who'd you see?
Fleet Foxes. Okay. And they were very good. They basically have like a song that I like, a song or two. And I'm like, oh, these guys would be great to see. Yeah, they were very good.
Okay. Well.
They were very good. That was a waste of money. What do you do? You, good for them. You live, I mean, they're not bad. I'm not trying to hate on them. Like,
you live,
they're
and
better
learn.
Musicians. You know, they're better than me at music. But
right.
But I'm not trying to charge you to come watch me play music either.
No.
So. I hold them to a different standard.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of people got together, did the road show at Applebee's yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was good, man. We got a ton of us. The soccer team is soccer team's got a perfect season going. They're winless. So yeah, soccer team, not all of them, but yeah, got together with some friends at Applebee's and hung out, and then made it over to Mr. Brett's and watched that. And then I didn't get home till damn near 1:30 because we were watching the Pirate, Coach Leach, get it done last night.
Ah, of course.
Which was cool. So yeah, good night.
He's a friend of the show.
He is. Yeah. He's on this week. So
yeah,
love
yeah.
him. Now Nebraska and their team, what we're spending some time on here. So we kind of fawned over the defense on Ben Stille and just the performance they had. And then the tail end there, we got into Nebraska's response from a staff and Mike Riley and how this week's been. And, you know, what's been written and talked about the last 7 to 10 days is job security, is candidates – be it coach slash.
Yeah, I'm sick of that talk too.
Right. And listen, man, I'm not avoiding the obvious.
Yeah.
I just have a gut feel that the minute you write him off, him being Coach Riley, you're going to have to go back and retract this speculation. And it's okay to speculate, but out of respect, I've been very hesitant to go down my short list because the guy has started off poorly and closed like a freight train in his career. And I'm not saying that they're going to crank out 9 or 10 wins this year. I'm just saying, don't sleep on what type of response when it looks the worst. The guy's been doing it too long and at a high enough level to just absolutely write off.
Well,
and you see the defense coming along. And listen, let's focus on the offense here for a few minutes. A, you went with Hymus again at right tackle, and how about Decker? Okay,
yep.
And then what you saw last night is a quarterback who all week was told to listen. It's your time to step up and make some plays. No more of this back and forth seesaw with consistency or confidence. You've had 4 games. This will be your 5th. It's time to kind of put it all together. I know there'll be rough patches, but it's time for you to – you've had time to get better. Go be better. And it was a big moment for Tanner Lee last night, and he looked the best he's looked all season, and that's because he had time. That's because he had a run game. That's because he had Stan back. Stan wasn't great, but Stan was good enough at times. Stan's awesome, but
dropped a couple.
But he had some drops, sure. So you had all things clicking last night for a quarterback, and I know he got tap dancy a little bit, but for the most part he hung in. He threw the ball away. They even bootlegged him for the love of God to find the tight end. We've been waiting on that play for 100 years. You know, the old quarterback bootleg, the staple of the Oregon State offense. Yeah, better blocking from your tight end. So it all kind of came together, but it stems from Lee believing that, okay, my lineman will give me 3.5 seconds to get rid of the football. Obviously, it has something to do with the youth and lack of talent they were playing last night. Nebraska was much more talented, did a better job, was well prepped, but you got the performance you need to move forward. And to me, that's the biggest thing. And we were talking about the coaches and this team having to respond. You needed a response from Tanner Lee. And he's had a weak quarterback controversy talk, not from his own coach, but that's also been out there too. How long's his leash? And do you make a move if he doesn't step up? And I believe going into Wisconsin, you needed to consider that if he didn't have a good game against the Illini, because he's not put together successful quarters. Well, he put 4 quarters of really good football together last night.
Yeah, his numbers throughout leading into last night. First quarter, he completes 62% of his throws. Second and third, it goes down to the mid-50s. Fourth quarter, he's 39%.
Yeah.
So what that tells you, obviously,
it's worse as the game goes on.
Worse as the game goes along, right? But part of that, and I think this has been the thing where, because it's just never quite made sense. How can a guy so highly touted end up performing like he's been? And you're just sort of, it's just perplexing, right? You're just like, is it just him mentally? Is it the line? Is it the play calling? I put play calling as probably number one. Mm-hmm. Because look what happened last night. How many throws? 24. Doesn't that just sound right?
That sounds perfect.
24. Look, there were 51 pass attempts against Northern Illinois. There were, now on the books, it's only 47, but he was sacked 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and he also ran one that broke down for a touchdown. That was also a pass. 51 times a pass was called. This isn't run the ball guy. This isn't 90s, you know, hearkening back for the option or whatever. It's be effective, right? It's not so much run the ball more. It's more like pass less. And that matters. It matters big time. Because if you got a guy who's a little skittish, right? He's playing his first ball for, you know, he's sat out for well over a year. The last time he played, he had to run for his life. You know, like, you got to break this guy in a little bit. And you only got 4 scholarship receivers. I mean, it's not like Nebraska's trotting out Michael Irvin and, you know.
Novacek.
Right? Like, they got good receivers, but settle down. Settle the hell down. Don't make it harder than it is. And last night felt like, and you were talking about Riley. during the week this week, he said one thing in particular where he said, and he kind of went away from it fast, but he said what a week like this does and what the environment like this does is it definitely sharpens the focus. And he went away from it. He was about to say, not that we weren't focused before. He didn't complete that sentence, but that's what he was intimating.
Yes.
He was intimating, you know, an environment like this where it's like, yeah, dude, pretty much if you get embarrassed, you might get the axe the next day. Right. I mean, that's kind of the environment he's in right now. And he's like, yeah, this sharpens the focus. Not that we weren't focused before, but it does sharpen it. And last night they had the approach of, don't make it harder than it is. Dude, you're playing Illinois. You're on the road. Your quarterback has been struggling. Right? Like, run the ball. Yes, pass. Yes, definitely throw the ball. And they were effective doing it. But they weren't going to that well all the time. They did early, which was scary. When that game first started, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are they setting up for another 50 pass attempt night? They think that's the formula? But no, they kind of backed them off early, went with that run, never went away from the run, and both were effective because you passed less. It's not so much that you ran the ball more, you passed less.
Well,
that's important. You're not going to get a pick six on a run play.
No, efficiency is the buzzword. And they really lived up to what they've been preaching about, right? They want to be a team that runs the football. That's Riley's words, and is efficient throwing the football. And these guys answered this week. They needed to be more balanced on offense. He spoke about it Monday with the passing game. You can't go 13-26 for 109 yards and two interceptions. Can't do it, and he didn't do it. He went 17-24 with three drops, got bailed out of an interception, but for the most part made really great decisions. And he was able to do that because he had belief in his offensive line taking care of him. I mean, from the early get-go, when he dropped back, he had time. And then the run game was great. I want to say this, Kranak, and I've been harping about it for a week. I am so happy that Nebraska has implemented more shotgun. More shotgun. Why? With, obviously, the slant routes. They were slanting Illinois to death. The first quarter anyway,
yep.
Pretty impossible to defend. And then Nebraska just runs north and south quickly and better, in my humble opinion, out of the shotgun. I've seen the I formation. I've seen the stretch plays. I've seen the attempted counters. I've seen the dives. I've seen the powers, right? And they've been okay. But when they're out of the shotgun and the way they closed out that ball game with Ziggy, a lot of times running out of the shotgun, that's what's been best. That's what this line's blocked best.
Yeah.
And all 3 years here has been their shotgun run.
Yeah.
And keep doing it. And by the way, it might kind of balance out an opposing defense if they're in shotgun, because you do have three or four wide, right? Yeah. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep running out of the shotgun. And that started last week. I mean, they ran better last week because they ran out of the shotgun. And you got linemen doing a great job of moving, being mobile, being athletic, getting some seal blocks. And I like the adjustment. And we'll see if it works against Wisconsin. I know there's no threat of the quarterback run, but there's at least some disguise capability out of the shotgun, whether you're going to run or throw it. I love that wrinkle. It's not new, but they're kind of leaning on it, and I think it's been big.
Look, yeah, and it's really good to establish that. Like, what are you going to be offensively? Seriously, what are you trying to do? And yes, it's been balance, balance, balance. That's always the talk. But last night is perfect. I mean, that is exactly that. That's how a game should go. You should throw it 25, maybe 30 times. You should run it as much, if not more, and both need to be effective. Just don't overthink it. Because here, look, dude, here comes Wisconsin, and they play Northwestern today. It's going to be interesting for them. They're coming off a bye week. They have given up, so they gave up 85 rushing yards to Utah State, 106 to Florida Atlantic, 81 to BYU on the ground. So they pretty much, you you pretty much can't run on them. That's basically what Wisconsin's about so far. But all those teams I rattled off are really bad running teams. Those aren't good teams. Northwestern isn't either. Northwestern's offense is struggling. So for as much scorn as Nebraska's offense has gotten, it'll be Wisconsin's toughest test by far. And if you watched, this Wisconsin team's interesting. Look, they're vintage in terms of what they're doing offensively with running the ball. They're 275 a game, like we mentioned. Totally vintage Wisconsin. I am not totally sold on them defensively this year compared to the past. Now, their numbers have been good. 304, 248, 192. That's what they've given up. But BYU's atrocious. BYU can't. I mean, they're bad. We think Illinois and Rutgers are bad offensively. BYU is just, it's like they're playing with nine players or something. They're just awful.
How do you really feel?
Well, I mean, they're really bad. I mean, they're not good. But, excuse me, if you watch the Florida Atlantic game, Florida Atlantic at Wisconsin, and this is weird to say, but Florida Atlantic was challenging Wisconsin physically. And Wisconsin wasn't overwhelming them, right? Like, you could tell Florida Atlantic made it a point to be physical with Wisconsin. Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin, what? Like, you serious? And I did not see a defense. I think the defense of like 2 years ago from Wisconsin would have just completely smothered those guys. Completely smothered. But they sort of, I don't know. So there was something about the way they responded to it that looked different than typical Wisconsin. They did not, to me, seem as physical as they have been. They didn't seem as overall fast in the front seven as they have been. I think you can get something done on Wisconsin.
No,
I really do. I really think you can get something. I don't think that is quite the suffocating defense, although their numbers would tell you otherwise. I don't think it's quite the suffocating defense that they've had before. And I think finally, having 5 million defensive coordinators over the last however many years, starting to catch up with them a little bit, plus the injuries.
That's wishful thinking. They are going to eat and get fat against Northwestern today.
Northwestern's a really bad offense right now, too.
Yes, their offensive line will enhance and highlight Wisconsin's defense. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
It will, right? And it's but I'm just saying they're not quite the juggernaut defensively that they have been, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I
could change. I could change. Maybe they're finding their sea legs too.
I think you're fine with that. I think what is for real though is Hornibrook's a hell of a quarterback in year two.
He's completing everything he throws.
Right,
basically.
And I thought he was kind of a chump, and I was wrong with that, at least through four games right now. His offensive line's angry big guys. And then you got to pick your poison at back because they got three dudes that can rock. The good
Hornibrook is 70%.
Yeah,
throwing the ball.
He's a dream in that offense. Yeah. So we'll see how Nebraska can match it. And Nebraska's run game is emerging at the right time to help give some balance. We'll wind down this first hour on Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Some more thoughts on Wisconsin, Nebraska. And anything you want to share about the Illini win, what were you pleased with most, Tanner Lee, the black shirt defense, or just the response and kind of focus by the coaching staff in a rough week? 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Can give Kranak a shout on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Schmidt_radio. Or at Hail Varsity. A quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
About 10 minutes away, Brandon Vogel going to be with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues is in Champaign. We'll get a recommendation from him on breakfast spots to taunt us with. Gary Sharp next hour, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. If you plan to go out tonight, make sure to get that safe ride home. And if you get caught drinking and driving, you could face DWI charges that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and in jail time, and you'd be required to install that interlock device on your vehicle. So if you're going out tonight, find that sober ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose, a message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Wrapping up thoughts on Illinois, we'll get into some Wisconsin, some more Wisconsin, Nebraska, as that is a week away. This week is going to be a fun week to be a Nebraska fan. You have the 97 reunion. You have, well, Wisconsin, your mortal enemy, coming to town. You have a team that's feeling much better about themselves in Nebraska. You have a great tune-up opportunity if you're Wisconsin against a team that's been a pain in your backside with Northwestern. So kick it about 11 o'clock and watch Wisconsin-Northwestern if you like, and just kind of see how things shape up. And, you know, Monday will be fun to hear from Coach Riley. Last night, just kind of catching up with his post-game, things he highlighted, you know, just how complete the game was. It was the first time in a long time, Mark, that Nebraska got off to a really good start, specifically on the road. And then he mentioned the poise and how big a game it was for Tanner. And before we kick it this hour to SportsCenter, how about Divine Ozigbo sticking with it, staying with it, and kind of being that horse for Nebraska? I know he coughed one up there, but, man, he has been so big for Nebraska. He stayed with it, and that's key. That's key. That's what you expect, but not always what you get.
Yeah, isn't that another don't overthink it kind of a situation?
Oh, you mean?
Like, let's see. We have a junior that's about 235 pounds of solid muscle. He's in his third year. Yeah, we should hand the ball off to him.
Do you think they've overthought it at center? And I'm not discarding Conrad. He's been a soldier. But Decker's, you've seen not much issue with that A-gap area, at least through two games since he's been in.
No, yeah, he's looked good. But I think he himself was keeping himself off the field.
Yeah, by overthinking?
Or something. Yeah. I don't know exactly why, but you talk to, like, Damon Benning, and he's like, that was on Decker.
Yeah, okay.
The reason why he didn't play.
All right. Hour two, Brandon Vogel coming up with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to an hour two weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Shortly, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, will join us. We head to Champaign. We think he's still in Champaign. Man that does an amazing job writing and analyzing for HailVarsity.com and magazine. Brandon Vogel with us at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. What was last night like? What were you expecting going in? And you kind of got the Big Ten in 60 version. That thing was done pretty quickly. What a ball game on a Friday, huh?
it was done quickly. I think like a lot of people, I've kind of come to expect the unexpected with Nebraska so far this season. So I would qualify, I guess, really just kind of controlling the game, going on three touchdown drives on your only three drives of the first half to build 21-0 lead. That was unexpected. I thought Nebraska was going to win. I thought they were going to be a little more comfortable than they had been previously this season. But last night was probably, well, Mike Riley said it, you know, when he talks about balance, both in terms of offense and defense, but also run pass. That's probably kind of as close as they've looked to I think, what he envisions for Nebraska when it's hitting on all cylinders.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio, coming to us live from Champaign, Illinois, following Nebraska's win last night. So quickly to defense, and we have plenty of time to talk about the offense still, but quickly to defense. Nebraska in the second half has just been lights out. It's actually pretty crazy. Nebraska is probably among the nation's leaders in second half defense. I'm trying to pull that up. I can't find it, but 46 yards in the second half last night to Illinois, and then 58 the week before. What do you think accounts for this? Why is Nebraska is lights out defensively in the second half regularly, and they have been almost all year?
Yeah, I think that's one where you can put that down in Bob Diaco's column, because when you think about what that is, you've got to be able to recognize what an opposing offense is doing to hurt you, and then probably the even more important part, you've got to be able to go down, communicate that to a group of guys who, you know, in the case of games like Oregon, where you're down by a bunch. I mean, Nebraska, when it scored first last night, it was just the first time it had done that this season. So they're a group that's played from behind. So, you know, being able to figure out what's going wrong and how to fix it, and then actually communicate that, I think speaks pretty well to what Diaco is doing there in those halftime discussions.
He is connecting with his guys, and whether it's a minor role or a major role, guys have been able to execute it here post the first half in Oregon, and they are building a lot of momentum. Ben Stille is a guy we spent time talking about to start the show off, and he looks pretty comfortable. He's been an impact guy, and between him and Gifford and then the Davis twins, your front seven, I'm not – purposely forgetting the Weber or Young contributions, either they've done well also, but just from a TFL standpoint, you've got some really good options on this defense, on this front seven, don't you, moving forward? It's not like you just got a key on one or two guys. The wealth's being spread out quite a bit.
It really is. It's Nebraska is sort of the definition of team defense, I think, at this point, as it continues to grow, and that's probably what it should be. When you look at not just the transition to a new scheme, which seems to be, you see fewer of those bumps in the road with each week, but also just sort of the talent level and the talent fit. You know, Mike Riley said after the game when asked about Stille that he's probably not the prototypical guy that you'd want in this defense at either defensive end where he used to be or outside linebacker where he is now. But he's what they have. And again, that's another one that I think speaks pretty well to the coaches. So this is what you got. How do you get a guy who can get ready and be productive? They've clearly done that with Stille, and he has responded in really such a remarkable way, considering that a week and a half ago he was kind of just buried on the depth chart, and then there were no other options. And he comes in, and he looks like a guy a lot like Gifford has been so far this season. That's just going to make it impossible for you to kind of ignore him going forward.
You know, and it's interesting, too, that he's playing that role. You look at Nebraska's front seven, and outside of Dedrick Young, Muhammad Berry, those are 500-mile radius guys, yeah. Right? Like, Nebraska's defensive core are in-state or Kansas City area. I think it kind of goes to show that you can field a good defense if you focus on kind of this general area. And in particular with Stille, I'm glad you bring him up. Brandon, I'm sure you remember it. A lot of people thought that was sort of an in-state flyer, that offer, right? Just kind of like, oh, he's, you know, that's, you know, you're just trying to offer the local in-state kid. He's not going to do much. But I think you see his attributes are, like, this guy's going to be a player for a long time. I don't think he's a flash in the pan, do you?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, Gifford was a little bit similar too, in that class. You know, those were guys who committed pretty, you know, relatively early in the process, and being in-state guys, they tend to get overshadowed a little bit. But I think you hit the nail on the head that this defense right now is kind of proving, yeah, you can build a pretty good defense locally. Not to go down too far down this road, but I think Iowa kind of proves it pretty often.
Yeah.
Husker fans don't like hearing that, but it's true. So yeah, you can absolutely, I think, form a really good core there. And then you sort of look to the secondary, which is an interesting contrast when you think about, well, if Jones and Kalu were available, you go Texas, Florida, Georgia, and California back there. So it's kind of the blend of Nebraska recruiting on defense, potentially, if you get healthy.
Brandon Vogel's with us a few minutes here. He's in Champaign at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, what were you most impressed by last night for Nebraska? I mean, you can pick a player or a coaching staff member or just a facet of the game, but what left you kind of going, okay, there's something here? And again, putting into context who they beat, but I don't think you can put into words really maybe some of the emotion and stress that went into this week either.
No, you can't. I mean, I think Stilley was probably the one that stood out the most. But to go beyond that, the defense's ability to, I think, execute what, I don't know what their defensive game plan was exactly, but sort of a Diaco type of game. Just gets a it's sort of like watching a kid grow up who starts to look more and more like their mother or father.
That's totally perfect.
that's kind of what the black shirts are. So, what do they do? Well, they're keeping the big plays down. That's the one you hear all the time. But they're also sort of muscling up once the ball crosses the 50 when it does. So they're getting those stops right at the 38-yard line or the 37-yard line. Diaco mentioned their sudden change defense last night. There were a couple of those situations there and two drives where Illinois ended up with negative yards when it looked like the game had a potential to flip a little bit there early in the third quarter. So I think that was the other big one for me. This defense is kind of continuing to take shape.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, statistically, last three games, Nebraska's holding opponents right around 200 yards, if not below. Can we trust this group, though? Like, is those offenses that Nebraska's played have not been good? We know that. Yeah. But when you're pitching those kind of numbers, does that usually portend good things once you hit the meat of the schedule, which is what Nebraska hits starting next Saturday?
I think so. So you certainly do sort of have to adjust for strength of schedule and opponent. And it makes the timing of this Wisconsin game, at least when you look at Nebraska's defense against Wisconsin's offense, I think the perfect kind of point for this game to come. So are they going to continue to make strides against an offense that, well, it doesn't have the weapons of Penn State. It's not like, a high-flying offense like some of the Indiana teams of the past have been. It's just really structurally sound, solid. They've got a good talent level. So is this defense going to be able to – probably not going to hold Wisconsin to less than 250 yards, but going to be under 300. That'll be a good test to sort of tell you, I think, really where things are at with this. And I think they will continue to play well. I think there is some truth behind these numbers, even if you have to discount them a touch just based on the fact that, well, Illinois and Rutgers are pretty far and away, in my mind, the two worst teams in the conference.
They are not good. That's very nice of you, Vogues. You're right on with that. I wanted to get your take here on just kind of what type of a vibe you sensed from Coach Riley and Langsdorf last night after the game. Just what did you take away? I've had a chance to check the post game out, and he hit all the points about, why they performed better than they had this season and what went into that. But just as far as his demeanor, I wanted to kind of get your read on him as far as did he seem the best word maybe relieved last night?
Yeah, that's the word that came to mind for me as well. And I don't know if it's sort of not that he didn't expect to win, but a different kind of relieved, I guess. More like you knew you had to go to the dentist and you came out and said, well, that wasn't so bad at all. You knew it was coming. I think it felt a little fun. You know, when I think about the assistants last night, that's kind of the word that I would use. You know, Nebraska hasn't been ahead by 3 touchdowns at any point this season, I don't think. So being able to do that, even if you knew it was a team you should beat, again, to go back to kind of where we started, you really can't take anything for granted in a season when you drop a home game to Northern Illinois. No disrespect to the Huskies. So we looked at those 2 games as this Illinois-Rutgers swing as 2 Nebraska absolutely had to have. They weren't pretty all the time, but Nebraska got them done.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Have you watched much of Wisconsin yet this year?
I haven't sat down and watched an entire game from start to finish yet, but I think I watched a little bit of them each week, and I'm incredibly impressed with what they're doing right now. I think they're really good. You know, on Friday, I wrote a quick hot reads thing about ranking the teams in the Big Ten. I actually put them ahead of Penn State just based on Wisconsin's balance. And that's no slight at Penn State. Penn State's really good, too. But I think Wisconsin's right there with them. What they're doing defensively under another new defensive coordinator without 2 starters at linebacker is really impressive.
Is it wishful thinking on my part, though, when I watch them defensively, specifically when I watch Florida Atlantic play against Wisconsin, I was surprised at how physical Florida Atlantic could be with Wisconsin. They just didn't seem as – they didn't get a lot done on the ground. I'm not saying Florida Atlantic ran all over them. But they just did not seem overall as sturdy and physical defensively as they have in years past.
Yeah, I guess I would have to go back and look at that one specifically. But it would make some sense. And yet, in some ways, they're a little bit like Nebraska's defense when you look at 2 of those injuries they have were 2 of their best players. So I don't know that I would have called Nebraska's defense physical through 2 or 3 games this season. They're getting closer to that. They've gained a little bit more confidence, but. You know, the thing that always makes this game interesting in my mind is just the interplay between and the shared history between Chris and Riley. They kind of play football the same way. So I think the winner of that game really does come down to things like you just mentioned, which one's tougher, which one gets the extra turnover, because the X's and O's, the chalkboard stuff, they should be able to kind of check and balance each other pretty well on that, given their familiarity.
Vogues, before we send you off, and thank you so much for spending time with us this morning and jumping on yesterday as well. I know it's been busy for you. A couple of last thoughts from you. Do you think Tanner keeps up the efficiency side of things moving forward? Is this more about being able to exploit just an undermanned Illinois defense, or do you think this formula will be on display moving forward with the meat of the schedule? And then 2, I know you were cranking out content and coverage, and it was awesome on HailVarsity.com. Did you get to watch your buddy Mike Leach, the Pirate, get that done last night?
As it pertains to Lee, I do hang quite a bit of what happened last night on Illinois and their inexperience on defense. I mean, look, I still don't know what it's going to look like for Nebraska when they try to block Ohio State in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to have a lot to do with how Tanner Lee ends up looking with a clean pocket. He looked pretty good when you think about some of the drops that mm-hmm. Nebraska had, and add those back to his passing total. All of a sudden you've got a really good game. And I think there is a chance that he grabs some momentum from that. As for Washington State, it was on in the press box as we were working and writing. We took a break to basically watch the last 3.5 minutes. And that was pretty great. Really impressed. I picked Washington State to win that game.
So did I.
I knew they had a shot. Their defense is playing amazing, but still kind of a surprise to see them get it done. And I'm happy for those people in Pullman.
That was fun, man. That was good stuff. Vogue, safe travels, my friend. We'll catch up with you this week for sure, and appreciate you.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogue's the, me and him, the only two to pick Wazoo with the old forecast. So,
I picked them to cover.
They did.
They were giving up 6.5 or something. Maybe more.
Well, they won outright, so of course they covered. Slap me, forgive me. But I was thinking at 3.5 number, right? And he just knew that it could get dirty on you if Darnold does what he's supposed to do, and that's drive the field for the winning touchdown. And, man, he looked very, very human last night is the best way to put it.
Has USC ever struck you as a top five team this year, though? I've never bought it.
Well, I go back to the Texas game, okay?
Yeah.
Like athletes, just big physical, right, fast studs. I think SC defensively – and Ronald, their tailback, the sprinter. And then they got some other 6'4 cat at wideout that's incredible. So, yeah, from a talent standpoint, they're absolutely top five. But when it comes to putting it together, your trigger man's had moments, and I'm going to kind of localize it here with Tanner. Him and Tanner have had a lot of issues this year forcing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The hype, the buildup, different Heisman and NFL for Darnold, NFL and, you know, best in the West type takes on Tanner heading into this season. But both guys have had to live up to some hype and pressure, and they both pressed, quite honestly, and not done that well. Tanner obviously had a really good one last night. And, you know, I think, you know, above all, he'll use last night to calm down, hopefully, if you're a Nebraska fan. But, man, it's going to be, you know, some shark-infested waters moving forward against Wisconsin and Ohio State. I'm anxious to see that. But, hey, it wasn't this, you know, yesterday was about getting out of your own way. They did. They played really well, and they needed to play really well. We'll see if they can get some confidence and make it happen under the lights next Saturday. We'll get caught up here in a moment with Gary Sharp. Listen, this weekend there's a lot of things you can do. You can get a tee time at Wilderness Ridge with Nebraska not being in action today, wildernessridgegolf.com. But maybe it's time to take the wife and family out for some brunch. And I want to tell you about Wilderness Ridge Brunch. Their Sunday brunch is incredible. It's Sundays from 10 to 2. And they have an interactive food and beverage station, complimentary items, and traditional buffet choices. And if you get to Wilderness Ridge, and let me tell you what they've got there. The bacon is incredible. The omelet's phenomenal. The biscuits and gravy is Carson Schmidt approved, and he's a biscuits and gravy snob. All right. And then they've got poached eggs for you, eggs Benedict. And then they have some other hot items you'd want. Maybe some fried chicken. Maybe some mashed potatoes and gravy. Maybe you're a green bean guy. You like crepes? They've got them. You need a mimosa because the wife's driving you nuts? They've got that for you. Maybe she needs one because you're a sports fanatic. I'm telling you, Wilderness Ridge is there for you, and brunch would be a great choice for you. Visit them for the October 1st through the 5th of November, and get your name in a drawing to win a couple of spots for the legendary Thanksgiving brunch at Wilderness Ridge, November 23rd. Make your reservations. Call today, 434-5118. Quick time out as I made Kranak hungry. We'll get caught up with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Welcome in. We motor through a kind of a reactionary Saturday with Friday Night Football. You got to experience that. Now you don't have to anymore. Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, sir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, a question I've been wondering for a couple of weeks, and you can debate this off air. Is Colton, is that his real name, or is that his adult film industry name? Because if so, that is a great name.
Oh, Colton Stone, the star of late night activity. Colton, do you want to chime in here? You can. I mean, Colton's blushing now. Colton did try out for the walk on team, though, or to be a walk on. I mean, he's an athlete. He likes to lift. I don't know, Colton. That's a good call.
That is a great name.
That's a wonderful name.
No comment.
No comment is what it is. It's Mr. Stone. Well, transitioning, I have no way how to do that. Sharpie, what did you think of last night?
You know what?
It was a sexy win.
Yeah, it was sweet.
It was to win 28-6. Let's just get it out there. Illinois is a terrible team. Mm-hmm. But with that said, you are right now an average football team, and you were playing on a Friday night on a road game, short week. There were a lot of opportunities leading up to the game where you could have stubbed your not shown up, and the next thing you know, you lose. But Nebraska, and kudos to the coaching staff because of the quick start, you know, they didn't seem like they had the ball at all in the first half. They came out, and I thought for the first time this year, they played on all three phases for the most part, a drama-free game, which is encouraging from the short week road game playing at Illinois, where Illinois allows Nebraska to host a Friday night game, home game in their stadium. Nebraska did some things that are encouraging. Now, there's still some warts that are there, and there's still the inconsistencies, but you take it, you're 3-2, and you move on, and you work on some of the positives you took out of that game, and then you know some of the things that availed you are still there. But, man, enjoy this for a couple of days, and then it gets real for a two-week stretch in Lincoln where you will know more about your football team than you ever wanted to know.
Yeah, and this, Gary, this team, it's been like this for a few years. They're just tough to predict. But based on what you've seen from Wisconsin, from Nebraska, is Nebraska going to be in that game on Saturday, or does bad Nebraska come back?
Let's look at Wisconsin. And I think, depending on what happens in Madison this morning, I think Wisconsin is probably a 7 to 8 to 9 point favorite over Nebraska. Mike Riley Mike Riley is the guy that loses to Purdue, but beats Michigan State. Loses to Northern Illinois, but does he upset someone? The thing about this week leading up to Wisconsin, the coaches took over last week to get a good game plan in, get it quick, not overthink things. The Wisconsin game is all on the players, because multiple players in the offseason have talked about how important this game is to them in beating Wisconsin, and how for two straight years, the team that has kind of ruled the West, Nebraska has been a possession away, and they've been some shoddy quarterback play away from upsetting Wisconsin. So this is your players' week to grab it and try and see what you can do against the Badgers. But you got to shore up your tackling. You got to be better at your cornerback position. There's other little things you have to do. But there's enough there last night that it still gives you some encouragement that you can be in that game, and it's at night. And it'll be a challenge this week for Mike Riley from the standpoint of, first of all, I think he's worn out. I think you can see that on his face. I don't think he really got to enjoy last night's victory. So this is a big week for him, and he has to balance because he wants 2017 that team to play well under the lights. And then he has the weird balancing act of they have rolled out the red carpet to make this a big recruiting weekend a week from tonight. And so he has to worry about 2017, and then you say, man, 2018, you guys that are on the sidelines, come help us. This will be a fascinating week around Nebraska football, but it is a lot better to go into the week off a victory over Illinois where there was no drama and you never thought Illinois was going to test you. Then everybody's talking about you're 2-3 and who's the next coach at Nebraska.
Yeah. Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I mean, there was a lot at stake, and they responded very professionally, workmanlike, and the focus was great. And you're right, man. There's a lot of juggling going on this week with the magnitude of the game, what this team wants to do, and then trying to build for the future with the kids coming in. What did you expect from Tanner, and did you get what you thought you'd see?
What I expect from Tanner and what I've come to the realization that we're just going to have to live with is a guy that is about a 52 to 55% passer that's still going to have some snaps where his mechanics are off. He throws off the back foot. He locks onto a guy. And then there are other times when he's in tune with his offensive coordinator, that his offensive coordinator trusts him, that if Tanner has protection and just has a little bit of patience, things can work. And also Nebraska last night, guys, did not overthink the game plan.
Right.
Illinois' safeties are so far off, they gave you a lot of underneath stuff. Or Illinois was not, they were not respecting the pass at all, and so they loaded up the box, and Nebraska had that underneath. And if you look at Tanner Lee's struggles, it has been a lot of underneath stuff. So if they gave that to you, you had to execute it, and they were able to do that. I think this was an important game for Tanner Lee because he played well, and he did a couple of things. You know, there's still those things that are going to be there all season long, guys, but we saw him throw the ball out of bounds. We saw him, take a sack. But we also saw him not have the huge swings up and down when something didn't go well. He's also got to get help from his wide receivers. Stanley Morgan, we want to reach out and embrace and enjoy him a couple of more years and then walk him into the NFL. But the drops are, there's so much inconsistency there. There's the fantastic plays when you're stiff-arming a guy going to the end zone, and then there's a key drop. So those have to be cleared up. But I thought for the most part, that offense played really, really efficient, and they got done exactly what they needed to get done.
Was it me, or was their body language overall, right from the get-go, better than it's been all year, too?
I think that's a great observation, Mark, and that's impressive considering the circumstances of a weird time of the week you're playing and having to go on the road and on a short week. I think whoever the leaders were got them ready to play in this game. I also think the coaches did a really good job getting guys ready to play. And you saw a lot more emotion. I like that Nebraska celebrated winning plays, because I don't think they've done that, even in their other two victories, where they have something go well and they don't celebrate. So it was nice to see them celebrate last night. It was a good win. And we don't want to, overthink beating Illinois, but from where Nebraska is right now and what they have to do, and that they are making steps in the right direction, I think last night was golden for them. I absolutely do. On defense, Illinois is not very good. I know that. But Nebraska had to take care of Nebraska last night, and they did things to show you that they're in the right direction. And all of a sudden, another thing, guys, you open up your game week at Wisconsin, and there's the possibility that you're going to get some key figures back from injuries that will help you against a team like Wisconsin, i.e. Josh Kalu, possibly Marcus Newby, still iffy on Trey Bryant. But it as you flip the calendar to October, it changes a little bit, and you have some hope still. And I think that's important for this football team.
Gary Sharp is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And Sharpie, great takes there on not only Tanner, but just where this team can go with this week. And I wanted to get your thoughts here on Ben Stilley. Kranak was a fan of his. I know you were all over him because you've seen him before a lot. And man, he's playing good ball, and I don't want to overreact to it, but just what they have fed him and coached him up to do, as young as he is, man, I mean, what a nice surprise for this defense. And I think you're seeing a lot of those situations and instances, aren't you, with guys having to step up and fill in for injury.
Well, and I full disclosure here, and I think when he committed, we talked a Saturday morning, and I wasn't so high on him.
I thought, okay, you're right.
Yeah, where's he going
to? To your defense, though, Gary, no, not many people were.
And to his credit, he showed up in the spring and let everybody know that he wasn't going to go away. And I didn't know where they were going to play him. I didn't know. There was a lot about him coming from Ashland that I worried about. So in the spring, you would see flashes, and you'd think, okay, is there something there? And then in the fall, he really took off. And remember, he's kind of been yo-yoed. He went from defensive line to outside linebacker, back and back. And they just put him on the football field. And I like last night early on. I like the four-man front that they showed when he was in the game. But you can see right away that his wrestling background helps him a ton. He's got really good feet. He's got explosive hands. And he's got a tenacity. And his technique is really, really good. So he has been coached well early on in his career. But there's just another guy you can rely on a defensive, you know, I know he played, he's out the outside linebacker. But you look at that defensive line, you got some guys with some bad intentions that are out there playing, most notably the Davis twins. But if you add a guy like Stilley, I think there's things you can do where teams aren't going to be able to just pound the ball and run on you. If you can stop it and give some help to your back seven, then I think you really have a chance. But full disclosure, I was curious on what was going to happen with him. I'm no longer curious. I'm very interested to see the trajectory of his career because he got an opportunity, and we saw that on the offensive side of the ball with Michael Decker. Guys that are getting to play due to injury or their performance in practice, and they are taking that and they are running with it. Those are two guys in the last 2 weeks that you can't deny have locked up more playing time or definitely a starting spot.
Yeah, isn't that something, too? And I'm glad you brought up Michael Decker. Look, maybe it's just the opponents. I don't know. But all I know is ever since that dude's been starting, the offense has looked infinitely better. Is it sort of that simple? Is he doing that much of a better job overall at center? And this isn't to denigrate Conrad, but it's pretty obvious that things have been looking a lot better with that dude in there.
I think it's settled things down, Mark, at center. You know how important that position is for the other four guys on the line. I think what Michael Decker has been able to do to get guys on the same page and then execute once the ball is snapped, I think that has helped the other guys as a continuity. And moving forward, that's going to be huge as the games get bigger and the opponents get larger, that Michael Decker is a stabilizing force, and that's one less thing you have to worry about. There was a lot of things to like about last night. It was a drama-free, feel-good game. You're 3-2, don't overthink it, and just move on and play against Wisconsin. But there are signs here and there, guys, that maybe the Nebraska team that we kind of thought we would see when we were all talking about this in August, that they might still be there.
We were talking about that a bit earlier, Sharpie, about just not writing Nebraska off, obviously not overreacting to a win, but it's something you hadn't seen this year, and that's, and Vogue's put it best, you know, game control. You went out there and did your job against a team you're supposed to do it against, but just this could be a fascinating season with how it started to maybe where it stabilizes to the obvious finish you have in November. First things first, see what you can do it against Wisconsin and then Ohio State, get healed up, and then go do Purdue. And, you know, there's still a lot of football left, and that's kind of how I've tried to approach what's been swirling around with changes and speculation, Gary. And, you know, Riley's seen a lot of bad starts and good finishes.
Well, I've dubbed it survival over style. Yes. 3-2, don't worry about Ohio State, got to worry about Wisconsin. You're right. With this team, you don't know what's going to happen. But at least they've responded post-Northern Illinois. Won two football games, and that was the most important thing. And again, now we enter what might be two of the more fascinating weeks in the month of October in Lincoln that we've had in a long time, where you get the big stick of the Big Ten, and you get Wisconsin and Ohio State rolling in your place to play when you are still trying to figure yourself out. So it's fun to be that way, and you know, I think I would love to see Mike Riley smile. So I hope he enjoys today that his football team went to Illinois and took care of business and got a victory, because he's a guy that you look at him on the sidelines and you're thinking, man, this is starting to wear on him. So I hope he enjoys it today, and you know, I hope everyone else enjoys it, and don't overthink it. Don't, you know, build it up so high. Don't tear it down. Just enjoy it. Then Nebraska's 3-2, and now they get an opportunity against Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Against Wisconsin to get people back on board with where they are early on in the year. It's fun. It's the 18 to 22-year-olds that play college football that we, for 365 days, 24/7, go nuts over.
It's true. Sharpie, your lock of the weekend, my friend. Got a game today?
Oklahoma State heavy over Texas Tech. They will bounce back.
Okay. A little help for the friends out there. Sharpie.
But watch Northwestern. Since 2004, Wisconsin is 1-2 against Northwestern, 31-7 against everybody else in the Big Ten. Not calling an upset, but it's a mid-range double-figure favorite is Wisconsin. I wouldn't be surprised if that game in the fourth quarter is still pretty tight.
Okay. I think Northwestern's just that bad on the line of scrimmage. I think Wisconsin's going to drill them. I do absolutely respect your history, though, on Wisconsin getting bothered and then some by Northwestern the last few years. Absolutely. Sharpie, enjoy your weekend, man. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today, bud.
Hey, I will enjoy it as much as the Nebraska ball boy did with his dancing double dab on Stanley Morgan's touchdown.
That was good. Take care, Sharpie. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Look, I'm so interested in watching Wisconsin today. It's their first test. Like, their offense has looked good, but they have not played really anybody. And
well, BYU is usually supposed to be better, and they were bad this year.
They've been really bad. Yeah. I think they're the worst offense in the country. Could be wrong.
What happened, though? Because the cat who threw the Hail Mary.
Well, you Tanner lost Bronco Mendenhall.
Well, I know. I mean, Tanner Magnum's the quarterback. Well, so, now it's homeboy's kid from ESPN.
Yeah, BYU's 256 yards a game. They're third to last offensively.
That's brutal. A quick timeout. We'll share some final thoughts as we get you into the weekend with Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?
Iowa, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Northwestern. What happens? And how's Nebraska spend their weekend? As whiskey is a week away. There's whiskey and then there's whiskey. Can't wait for it, man. Going to be an awesome.
Wisconsin.
I thought
you were just talking about whiskey, period.
They're kind of one and the same.
You don't have to wait a week for that.
It's an acquired taste. It'll put you on your backside and stomp on you while you're down. Whiskey and whiskey. Both of them.
Pretty much. Yep. Look, I heard a pretty interesting stat.
Please tell me.
So Nebraska, back-to-back weeks, holding opponents under 200 yards. When was the last time that happened?
I'm going to go with the vintage defense of Charlie McBride in 1999.
Not 2001.
Ah. Okay,
but I think that gives you an idea of
how long it's been.
Well,
the level of defense. I mean,
just to talk about how rare of a feat that is, and how well the defense is playing. Nebraska's had some good defenses.
Who'd they play in 2001? Who'd they do it against?
Oh, that's a good question. I really don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay,
we'll look that up.
We'll get that figured out.
But it tells you. Look, I mean, Nebraska's played, 200 games since then. This is the only time they've gone back-to-back holding a team under 200.
Well, in college football, the new 300 is 400. I mean, there's a new normal for total offenses allowed.
Yeah.
You can feel bad about 500 yards, but most teams get 500 put up on them.
I'm looking it up. It might have been Baylor?
Okay.
In Iowa State.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know. If you get that trivia question right, you win nothing.
The 0-1 Iowa State game, that's the last game my wife and I went to together. Yeah.
How about that?
No. That's why I circle it. Leave me alone, woman. What do you got going, Kranak? Soccer?
Kansas City.
Oh, you heading to Kansas City?
Kansas City, here I come. Going to check out tonight a Sporting KC game, MLS.
Good for you. You know what? No, I would totally do that if I were you. Good for you.
Going to check it out. Going to see that in the Great Wolf Lodge for the kids, which, that place is interesting.
Yes, it is. You poor bastard.
So it's one of those days.
Did you at least get the... the room next to the swim up bar?
Yeah, no.
Life jacket. How many full dragon back tattoos will you see at the old Wolf Lodge?
We'll see a few. But it's the only time. It's the only Saturday where you can actually do anything.
I know.
That's the one benefit.
You're
I think,
a good father.
Of the Friday game.
You're absolutely gem of a father.
Go on. Don't stop there.
No, you are. You're taking your kids to a water park. I mean,
isn't that good?
Yeah. Take your kids to Rick in Sauterhaiman. I got to get a shout out to Rick. 0%
interest. That's what you're doing.
I am. I'm taking Junior to Sauterhaiman. Zero interest financing through 2020. And we have Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds and 1-carat diamonds available for only $99 down and $99 a month. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Take care of that lovely lady in your life and see Rick and your friends at Sauterhaiman today.
Crane, it's kind of weird to buy your son a ring.
No, we're going to pick one out together and give it to mama. It's good.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
Better.
You go to Wolf Lodge and enjoy yourself. All right. Take care, Mark. Thanks to Colton Stone. We'll back at you on Monday with Hail Varsity.